ready for another rebuild.
What happened?
Greetings, loyal listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. This evening, Rob and I will be performing a post-mortem on the Brian Flores era and the, I guess, 2021 season as a whole. So, Rob, how disappointed / shocked were you? The last time we spoke was right before the Titans game, so things have changed drastically since then.
They sure have. We were getting ready to go to the playoffs, win the division, do all that fun stuff. Okay. So it's a good thing we're not doing this Monday, because I was a wreck. Monday broke me.
Yeah.
I texted you when you were sleeping, and I'm just like, wake up. I need to talk to somebody. I'm like, I had all this work to do, and I'm sitting on my computer, and I'm just numb. I'm just like, ugh. Because after that Patriots game, you know, it felt like, okay, you know, that Titans thing, bad
felt
weather,
good.
Felt like we got stuff to build on. Obviously, after the few days had gone by, and I'm like, well, Flo wasn't perfect. He wasn't a great game day manager. I had my issues with him, but I very much wanted to keep him and build with him. And now that we're already here, now all these other stories are coming out, and it's all like all the dysfunction and all the whatever. And, you know, some of it might be spin later, you know, interviewing the guys that are still there, but there's way too much smoke for there not to be some fire in what we're hearing. So, you know, maybe this is something that had to happen, but I can't sit and go through all these articles. I don't care anymore. It's over. Let's just get the next guy. Let's get an offensive guy in here and let's go win some games.
I agree with that last point for sure. But before we get to who we like for the next Dolphins coach, I think we'd be remiss not to take a little bit of a look at a lot of the questions we've had over the past 3 years, right? Like we're starting like in the last, I guess, 3 days, I think we've learned more about this team and the way things were going, like what was actually happening than we did in the last 3 years, which is, I mean, that's a sign of that was one positive thing from the Flores era was, you know, they kept everything in house and I like that. And I think that they should do that. But you know, now that he's gone and, you know, we're making sense of the situation, it's very apparent that he was the one driving the Deshaun Watson train. He was the one that wanted Deshaun Watson. He was the one pushing for Watson. Apparently never had any faith in Tua, was never his guy, never was putting, you know, obviously we talked a lot on this podcast about Tua not being in position to succeed. And I think the both of us thought, you know, that it was ownership and the GM that were, you know, trying to, you know, Greer that were making the push for Watson and you know, not getting to it in a position to succeed, you know, not getting the offensive, you know, any kind of consistency or identity on the offensive side of the ball. So it was nice to kind of see that. My initial reaction was much like yours. Obviously, when I found out he was fired on Monday, I was shocked and disappointed because I did really like Flores. And I think part of this, and we were talking about this right before we started the podcast, was the laundry list of terrible coaches that we've had to endure over the past 22 years. I mean, the last time this team had any kind of identity was, you know, the early Wanstead years. And that was basically because he inherited the team that Jimmy Johnson built. So that team had a very clear identity, you know, ball control on offense and you know, just a nasty defense. And I loved those teams. That was the last time we were really any good. I felt like Flores was the first coach since then to give this team an identity. And we were starting to build that identity on defense, and we were a good defense, not a great defense. And that's the thing that like, I'm reading a lot and seeing a lot of the fan reactions was, you know, saying that this defense was great and we're going to lose this great defense. It was a good defense. Like we're just used to seeing mediocre and piddling defense for so long that we took, you know, a top 15 defense and assumed that was a, you know, an upper echelon defense in the NFL. It's not like just, it was getting there, but you know, it wasn't, you know, we weren't beating everybody because of our, you know, I mean, the games we were winning were because of our defense, but it wasn't like we didn't have the best defense in the league. Like we weren't even, I mean, we're top half, but
it wasn't top third at least. I mean, if you just want to say the last, if you're talking last 8 weeks or 9 weeks, as opposed, you know, Obviously, they were awful.
But look at the schedule. Like anytime they played a good team, we lost. Aside from, and I don't really think the Patriots are a good team. I know they're in the playoffs, but that's another thing too. Like I just getting back to how I felt on Monday was, you know, and right immediately following the games on Sunday, you know, after we beat the Patriots and we're looking at this team finishing 9-8 and then looking at some of the teams that are in the playoffs, right? The Philadelphia Eagles, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, like those aren't good teams. Like we're better than those teams. There's no doubt in my mind, this team, this Dolphins team with Flores as coach was better than those teams. And you know,
I think we're pretty close to New England. I mean, it's funny because their defense fell off, but their offensive line, like, and their running backs, you know, give them an edge over us in that department, and that helps.
So we played them the first week of the season. That was a long time ago, but we played 8 quarters of football versus them this year. We were winning the entire time.
Oh no. I think no.
Like we're better than that team. Like there's, you can't tell me,
but
we're not.
But just because I know, but this is the NFL. Just some teams have other teams' numbers. I think just because you could beat one team doesn't mean you're better. Like the Jags are not better than the Colts. They play them well. You know what I mean? Like I just think, you know, and the Patriots, they won more games. They did what they had to do. They sucked less than we did. So the whole you are what your record says you are. I agree. I think we're at, you know, I think we're on par with them and we can beat them. So, but to say we're outright better is probably a little homerism. Just calling you out.
I'm just saying this team could have been in the playoffs. Like that's, and that's
obviously.
Like whether or not they were getting better or like whether or not they, you know, whether or not they were, you know,
we talked this team about was gonna those three stupid losses. Each one of them kept us out.
Right. Of course. That's the point I'm trying to make is, was this team going to be great with Flores? Like, I don't know. I don't know if we were ever going to get there, especially hearing about the dysfunction. And I mean, these are things we talked about, like just, you know, no consistency on offense, right? Like no, like this would have been, who knows if you would have kept these offensive coordinators or made another change, right? That would have been 4 years and
oh,
four different offensive
change. Coordinators. At least get rid of one of them. At least figure out which one of them was better. Let me ask you a question though, just on that. I agree. This team is as good as it's a playoff team. They were between like the who are the last ones in? The Raiders, the Steelers.
Raiders, Steelers, and the NFC you had like the Eagles, like come
right.
on. Like,
but like looking we're better okay, than those so teams. Looking at the three wild card teams is Patriots, you know, Steelers and Ravens and Raiders.
Raiders.
We're as good as them. Which home team were we going to go on the road to and beat? Like
we were, and we, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We're still
we made the playoffs
this weekend,
right? Yeah,
I mean, there was a chance, but I mean, we'd have been a 7-point underdog in any of those games or more if it was Kansas City or Buffalo,
right?
Well, so was it Kansas City, Buffalo, or Cincinnati? Is that that's the
Yeah, Tennessee had the bye. Right. So Cincinnati is a home team, Buffalo is a home team, and Kansas City is a home team.
I mean, could we didn't, I think we could beat, I mean, maybe we could beat those teams, but we would not have been favored, and it would have been hard-pressed to win those games.
Right. Basically what I'm saying is, like, I don't.
No, I talk myself into it. We could have beaten any of them.
Flores is a good coach. Like, I think it was just we're surprised because they did such a good job of keeping the problems that they were having in house. Like we could clearly see there were some things going on, you know, but now, you know, now we can tell he didn't jive with the GM. You know, he wanted probably more control over player personnel, which most coaches do. And I mean, he hadn't proven enough. Like, they went 10-6 last year, you know, that was, and it was weird. I mean, 2020 was just a weird year anyway. And then this season, they got off to the terrible start. You know, then they had a really hot finish against some really weak opponents. And, you know, they finished with a winning record only because there's an extra game. I just, you know, I guess it's not as shocking as we probably should have felt, is what I'm saying. And as the time goes by, I look a little bit more, you know, I really would prefer that Flores had stayed and we went after Watson. Like, that's what I was hoping for immediately following the Patriots game. After watching the Patriots game, that's what I wanted to have happen. And that's, you know, I stick with that. That would be better than what's, I think, is going to happen, which is going to be, you know, we can start talking about the coaching candidates, but I think that the desired outcome for where we are now, it looks like we're going to get one more year of Tua, because it seems like.
Oh, Greer, you're getting 10 more years of Tua, baby.
Well, we'll probably, I guess, find out. I had seen enough, but I guess hearing some of the things that had come out, like, you know, maybe he was hamstrung by his head coach. So we'll see. Maybe, you know, if they bring Brian Daboll in here, who is
ahead of yourself.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just like the options, right? Looks like, you know, the Flores Watson thing that we had wanted to have happen.
I know,
isn't
but
going to happen.
I just have to go on the record. I did not want them to. I don't want them to get Watson. I don't want Watson. I know Watson's a great player, and I'm not saying I won't root for the team. I think we'll be good. I think, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad move football wise, but I'm happy not doing it. I want to see Tua get his shot. The one thing we spoke about a little bit off air, but you have to go back in history and look when rookie quarterbacks play behind terrible offensive lines, they get destroyed to the point that they can't play football anymore. They get Josh Rosen out of the league. They get David Carr, Derek Carr's brother in Houston, was like set the sack record and just couldn't play anymore. And he was like the number one pick. Tua has played pretty well, considering this is historic terrible lines he's played. These last two lines are like, I mean, you see the charts that they put up, like with the PFF grades or whatever. This line is awful. This isn't just nitpicking or whatever. Awful line. And he still somehow manages to have a decent completion percentage, as long as it's not raining. Maybe he needs
winning
to
records.
Deflate football.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a winning record.
Yeah, he's got a winning record. He's got a decent, his stats are decent. I think with time, where you're not always freaked out and you can actually, people that throw deep can't throw deep. He can throw the deep ball when it's time. So I think getting a new offense in here with an offensive-minded head coach, I think we're going to see. I don't think he'll ever put up the numbers. He's never going to put up the numbers Herbert and Burrow will. But I think he can win more games than both of them. Not combined, but I think he can be the more winning quarterback of them.
We'll see. I mean, dream scenario for me right now, and I already said the name, right? Like, dream scenario for me moving forward, given everything that's happened, is Brian Daboll as head coach. So he's the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills currently. He was the offensive coordinator on Tony Sperano's Miami Dolphin last season of Sperano's tenure as Dolphins head coach. That offense was actually pretty good, if you remember. I mean, it was not great, but, you know, they, after Henny went down and your favorite Matt Moore took over, that team actually put up some pretty decent offensive numbers. They had Reggie Bush.
That wasn't Pennington year? That was he wasn't there with Pennington?
No, this was the last year of Sperano. It was Henny as the starter, and then Matt Moore ended up taking over when Henny went down. So they had Brandon Marshall on that team, and, you know, I don't want to rehash the past too much, but there was a decent offense. I remember the end of that year being actually pretty fun to watch. And then Daboll did go, he's part of the Belichick tree. He's coached in New England before as a tight ends and offensive line coach. And then he was most importantly and significantly for this conversation, he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama under Saban when Tua was a freshman. So they have a history of working together. They might be able to enjoy some success at the NFL level if they work together. We'll see. Ross has said whoever the coach is going to make the decision on who the quarterback is. So, you know, maybe Daboll gets in and he decides, you know, you can't win with Tua in the NFL, and he goes after somebody.
Yeah, we don't know how he feels about Tua now, but he was one of the vocal ones that wanted him over Hurts, you know, as a freshman. And, like, so he definitely was a fan of what he could do back then. And not many people weren't once he got in. He was amazing in college. But yeah, that's the one that lines up. And then as a bow on top of that, that might make the Bills a little worse.
Right. So that's a desired outcome. For me right now, at least he's my number one. I actually, and I know we're split on this, Immediately after the Flores thing happened, I thought, I just thought that meant they were hiring Harbaugh. Like that, like immediately, well, that's what like
I thought. I thought so too. You don't fire. I'm like, you don't fire Flores unless you've got another guy in the wings ready to come in, and that's
right. And I do believe. Yeah, I don't buy the fact that Ross is saying he's not going to go after him. I believe Harbaugh is very much in play, and I believe there are conversations that are happening. I would be Harbaugh or Dable would be tremendous hires, in my opinion. I don't, you know, that like that's like the best outcome that we could hope for. And then, you know, we were talking about this. Vic Fangio out is as head coach in Denver. He'd make a pretty nice defensive coordinator for either one of those coaches, in my mind.
I agree. I want an offensive head coach and a good, solid defensive coordinator to come in. And Fangio would be perfect for that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will want him as defensive coordinator. But, I'm not as high on Harbaugh as you. I don't like when guys are out of the NFL that long. I don't love, you know, it's not just the Saban thing, but I'm just the idea of college coach coming in. Like, obviously, I don't know why. I like the young ones, not the old ones. the young ones sound better to me than the old ones, but I don't know. He didn't even coach. How long did he only coach those few years with San Francisco, right, as a head coach? That's it?
5 seasons, I believe.
And you know, they went
a lot of success.
Yeah.
I think his NFL record was 44-19.
Yeah, no, the teams were good, but I don't know. I'm not. I wouldn't be angry, but he's not my pick. I don't want him.
Yeah, fair enough.
To be fair, I think that's what I said about Flores because I didn't know anything about him, and I'm like, nah, he's not my pick.
Yeah, I mean, other guys. Obviously, they've put in requests to interview other coaches. Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, who you were saying you were not interested in. I actually thought that would be a pretty good hire.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel, who's the offensive, the running game coordinator for the 49ers. I thought that was a pretty interesting name as well. Leslie Frazier, Dan Quinn. Those are guys. Have been coaches in the NFL. They were not successful. I don't want those kind of retread guys, especially
they're both,
they seem like lesser defensive minds than Brian Flores.
Yeah,
so I don't want to do that. And then I can't think of any other names that I've seen surface. Eric Bieniemy was a guy that I really wanted them to hire because I know Watson wanted him, but I just am getting the feeling like they're not going to be making that Watson push that I wanted. So I don't think they're going to be going after Bieniemy.
Drop it already. Jesus, we're all tired of the Watson stuff. You know what? And you were the one who got into his head with all the Watson.
Interestingly enough, as the time of we're recording this podcast, the Texans have fired their head coach, who was only there for 1 year. I don't even remember his name, but they've already requested it, or they're already setting up an interview.
Cully, with Brian Flores. Scully.
Something yeah, whatever. Like so it would interestingly enough, the Texans could end up with Flores and Watson because if they bring him in,
that's you know, not
Watson
happening.
Play for him.
Oh, the Texans, yeah.
He could end up the craziest outcome of them all. Watson stays in Texas in Houston with Flores as his coach. That would just be amazing. Just in how crazy that is. But that seems like it could be reality.
I don't think they've interviewed him, but they don't have to like put in the request. But I've heard people talked about Doug Peterson, who had the one.
Yeah, he's got ties to the Dolphins. He played for the Dolphins. He had the one good season coaching the Eagles. Great season.
Really, really good season. Also had Carson Wentz playing like an MVP. So that's just that.
Yeah, but then flamed out.
That's still hard to do. Remember that year when Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were like, wow, these are the two. Look at these two rookies. They're so good. This is the future of the NFL.
Yeah.
Can we talk just for a second? And not even, we'll do 20 seconds. Holy moly, the Colts. What the hell?
Like that was like that was a big thing for us on Sunday in one of my Dolphins chats was hey, at least we're not Colts fans, right? That would have been awful.
We were already the way they were playing at the end, you know, the end of the season with their offensive line and Taylor, and the defense was good. And we're like, my God, nobody wants to play them in the playoffs. And now they lost two games.
They lost the Raiders game the week before, I thought they're clearly better than the Raiders. And then they lost to the Jaguars on the road. Like that's
badly. Like they got
very
bad.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Oh, that hurts. That's worse than the way we went out.
I agree. But hey, one thing we have in common with them is we both lost to the Jaguars. So,
yay. So did the Bears.
All right. That brings us to an end of our first section. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little bit of a season recap and maybe look forward to the off season. Obviously it's very, very early on, but, so please stay tuned. We'll have some more Dolphins talk when we come back. And we are back. We were just talking a little bit off air. One other thing I wanted to bring up, just about Flores as well. And I don't know how we forgot to mention it. Guy was money against the Patriots.
Oh yeah.
he was money against everybody in the AFC East, except for the Bills, who just murdered us every single time he played. But, it won 4-2 against Belichick. And
you know what's better than
5-1 against the Jets?
Do you know what's better than 4-2 against Belichick?
What's that?
3-0 against Belichick.
You're giving to it too much credit there.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the guy that no rookie quarterback can beat Belichick. I'll do it. And then I'll sweep you the next year.
Yeah. I mean, he played okay. He played okay in both Patriots games this year.
There you go. You know what, okay? That's KO backwards, because he knocked him out.
No, they're still playing, so he didn't completely knock them out. What was funny, though, is just, I mean, Mac Jones looked terrible in that game. I mean, he put up – his numbers ended up being okay, because when they got they were down 17 points and they were throwing the ball all over the place.
He made 3 or 4 really good throws in that game. You know,
garbage time.
Well, there was no garbage. That game was a 4-point game at one point. I mean,
whatever. Oh, the game was
he's not terrible. He's just not great yet. Everyone wants to make him great, but they don't. He's what he's in the situation we wanted Tua to be in. Just defense and running, and then make the throws in a clean pocket. When he came, Tua on that team would be incredible. He'd be perfect in that team right now for what they want to do.
I think they'd probably be about the same, honestly. Like I think that they seem like similar types of, like, except Jones is like more prototypical in terms of size for an NFL quarterback. I don't know.
I think if Tua had that kind of time to and then to really be able to do progressions, not have to throw the ball in 2.2 seconds, I think he
definitely would be better than what we're seeing.
Yeah.
But what other things about this season did you enjoy? So I'll go, one of the things that I really liked, aside from the defense, like just individual contributors, obviously, you know, the rookie play was solid. Waddle is going to be, I think a good NFL receiver for a long time. Wow. Jalen Phillips, I think, is going to be a very
good. Waddle was incredible.
I think incredible. I think incredible is a little strong. He was very, very good. I like him. I bought a jersey. I like Jalen Waddle. Oh, I'm not, God, not throwing shade.
You didn't buy a Waddle, did you?
I had already had it though before. Like the jersey hasn't jinxed him. Yeah.
Oh, did you just pull the name off your Tannehill jersey? Is that what you're saying?
No, I never had a Tannehill jersey actually. Jalen Phillips is another one, another bright spot, and Javon Holland. I think
he's huge. He's
those are nice bright spots. I really wish they would have gone to Duke Johnson earlier in the season, and I would like to see them hopefully. Whoever they hire, brings him back and gives him a shot, because he looked. That was the best running back play we've seen since Jay Ajayi, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm guessing the one thing that came out of this, Flo definitely has his guys that he wants to play no matter what. And, you know, like Brissett's one of his guys, and he kind of played him more than he should probably needed to early on when Tua could have come back. Jesse Davis is one of his guys because there's no other reason he should have been playing that many snaps for anybody. And I'm guessing Gaskin's one of his guys because he did go eventually get to the point where it was really Johnson and Lindsay and then Gaskin as the third choice. But it took a while. It took COVID to get there to actually have to sign these guys. But yeah, you know, Juke Johnson was on the practice squad like most of the season, right? Like he was there to be in practice. They should have known that he was better.
Yeah, the first time I remember them actually playing him, I think, was the first Jets game, and he had a couple nice runs, and then I was expecting to see him more, and then we didn't until the COVID thing happened. So,
but that was also because Brown got hurt, and there might even have been a thing where maybe Ahmed missed some time or something, but yeah,
I'm whatever they do in the running game next year is going to be better than what we've seen this year. And I know we were talking about Dable and the Bills don't even use the running game, but I think if he came here, I think he would have to,
you know what, since they've gotten this second half of the season, they're running a lot. They're running more. They realize you have to sprinkle it in. You know, it's not a run first league anymore, but you have to sprinkle it in. Cause if the linebackers don't have to pretend for it, you know, it makes your life much harder.
Yeah. Xavien Howard ended up having a great season. Definitely hope they work out whatever needs to happen with his contract to bring him back. Hopefully the next regime knows how to use Mike Gesicki the right way. Hopefully they bring him back. Agba, I would imagine, would be a top priority for them to sign in the offseason as well. Those are my main keys, I guess, like for the offseason have to sign. I would like to see them try to make bring Duke Johnson back, but that's
they have to sign Gesicki because we got to use the franchise tag on Will Fuller. Can't let him go.
Ooh, boy. Oh boy. Oof. So what about Devontae Parker? You think it all depends on the next regime. I'd like to see him come back.
But he's not on a terrible contract, right?
No, he's a very reasonable contract, actually.
Yeah. I mean, look, I feel like everybody listening to this, I love Devontae Parker, but, you know, if I could get a guy there who's going to play 15 games, if you could just tell me he's going to play 15 games, I'll be like, you're in. Sorry, Parker, you're out. Like, actually, how much time did he miss this year? But again, was that a flow thing with the weird injuries where you don't even know guys are hurt, then all of a sudden they just go on the IR and it was just like...
No, that was a part for Parker's situation is pretty par for the course for
him. That's true.
You know, like that just, I think he played about half of the season.
But he's so good.
He is good. And that's maybe like in an offensive system that makes sense. Like he actually, you know, puts up a little bit more volume. Like they take more, you know, they scheme him into the play, you know, they scheme him in a little bit more. I don't know. It was disappointing for me, you know, just the offense in general was just so disappointing. And that's one thing that we can point to and say, you know, hey, this is what we need to fix. Like, this is what we're, you know, hopefully they're going to try and fix in the off season.
Yeah.
Any other bright spots for you from this year, Rob? Anything else that you liked from what you saw?
I mean Baker, right? We weren't sure. We weren't sure if Baker was going to be the guy we hoped he would be. He was this year. Obviously, Wilkins, Davis. Raekwon, not Jesse, that's for sure. Van Ginkle, like Needham, Nick Needham, like, you know, remember a couple of years ago, we cringe when he was out there. Now I'm like, I'm all about it. I'm all about him as the nickel guy. That's fine. Oh, and
I think that.
And Brian.
Go ahead.
And Brian, like, we all talk about Holland, but like Brian Jones really settled down, you know, that.
Brandon Jones.
Brandon, thank you. I'm like, I was like, not Byron, but yeah, Brandon. Thank you. I was saying it. I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
I mean, I think they can, hopefully they can, I would like them to bring Byron Jones back, but I would like them to restructure his contract.
Yeah.
But you know,
Brandon Jones is the one, he's like, that's very, was a very, like, you didn't expect much there. And all of a sudden you're like, that's damn solid play, you know?
Yeah, he was good. So I think there's, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, for the talent that's here. I believe there is, you know, there's a good core. You know, they're, you know, for as bad as the offensive line was, I think there's a couple guys in the offensive line you could still bring back. Like, I feel like Robert Hunt will be, a solid.
Hunt was fine.
I feel like Hunt will be a solid right guard in this league. I feel like Eichenberg can play tackle, probably right tackle. And Dieter might end up being a decent center. So you got, I think if you bring two, you know, you bring in one really good offensive tackle and a good guard, or maybe you upgraded center as well. The offensive line gets much, much better, you know, well, just by doing those things.
One of the things when I was watching the Patriots game, their center, what's his name? Andrews.
Yeah.
Like, we tried to get him.
Right.
And like, and he was great this year. Like, I'm like, we,
yeah.
And like, what if putting him in there, you know, taking that pressure off of the left side of the guards a little bit. Now they could, you know, help the tackles a little bit. That just adding one guy there, I mean, it still wouldn't have been a great offensive line, but it would have made a hell of a lot of difference.
I think some of it goes to coaching as well. Like, clearly there was seem like there was any kind of clear communication or idea of what that offense should be doing.
The one thing you said, in the first half, when you were talking about Brian Daboll, is that he at one point was an offensive line coach. And I'm like, he's got the job. Because I need somebody who understands that facet and who to put in there and how to talk to it. Because I agree. I don't think those are untalented people. I don't think they're as good as we hope they'd be. But I think coaching could make a big difference in that especially if we add one or two, studs, everybody else there can stay, be backups, you know, use the three guys that were good, add two guys, you know, Jackson could become that fifth piece or sixth piece you need to plug in, you know, to back up people and stuff. And
yeah. And I like Flores. Like I said, we both really like Brian Flores. I think it would be our preference would have been to give him one more year and, you know, maybe let him choose a little bit more of what he wanted on offense, or, you know, maybe try to figure it out. But I'm not as upset as I was earlier.
I feel better about it now with all the other, like, cause now I'm like, now maybe we'll actually have a chance to have some offense going.
Right. And hopefully they're able to bring somebody in to keep that defense. It's a young defense.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's not a lot of money thrown into it. Just, you know, Byron Jones and Xavier Howard are obviously making a lot of money, but the rest of them are all pretty young, you know? So hopefully they're able to keep that core together and still run, you know, a good scheme, you know, that can maximize them. I think, you know, making a run at an experienced defensive coordinator, if they have, you know, if they do go after, you know, a younger, you know, unexperienced offensive type of coach, then bringing in a guy like Vic Fangio would be amazing. I did forget to, there was one other name on the requests that came up was Vance Joseph. Remember him? He was the defensive coordinator under Gase the first year, and his defense was absolutely terrible. I don't want them to hire that guy either.
What? Why?
Didn't he coach for the Broncos too? Didn't he? Like, he actually got a head coaching gig and then he was, fired pretty quickly thereafter, because they were bad when he was there. He's another name I would not like to see hired.
Oh, did you mention Bowles on air? We talked about it off air.
I didn't. Yeah. Bowles would be, I would be okay with Bowles. You know, he's,
feels like Flores light in a way, like, he's a good defensive mind. I don't think he was as good a defensive mind as Flores. And I like him though. I wouldn't have minded if they hired him when they hired Flores, because I didn't know what the hell Flores was. So, but I really feel like I want an offensive mind, unless they can get some crazy offensive coordinator. But you're not you're not attracting an offensive coordinator with an offensive coordinator spot, so you don't know what you're getting if you're going to college or getting a quarterback coach, or, you know, unless they think Charlie Fry's going to be the guy or something. But I really want something new. I want something.
Just trying to think of, like, you know, like, who's going to, like, come in and give this team an identity, right? Yeah. Like the last time, you know, I feel like we were starting to get one under Flo. I definitely had one on the defensive side of the ball. But I mean, like, there was, the team had no identity with Gase. It had no identity with Philbin. Really no identity with Sperano.
I don't think I liked those hirings before. Like, I don't think I was ever felt good about those. Like, I never wanted those guys.
For Gase at first, I kind of bought into the hype. That first year he was here.
Oh no, I mean before. Beforehand, like the leading up to, before they even coached a game, like to be like, hey, this is your guy, right? When is Jim?
No, I'm saying I felt that way about Gase. Like, okay. I thought Gase was a good hire. And I was obviously so wrong about that. But
yeah,
you
are an idiot.
Well, I mean, none of the other ones, like Philbin, like I didn't understand. Sperano was like cautiously optimistic, mostly just glad that it wasn't Cam Cameron.
Right.
You know, before that it was Saban. Was, you know, I like Saban. Obviously, I think when they hired Saban, I think everybody was excited, but, you know,
we were so
that didn't work out. And so then, naive. You know, Wanstead was whatever. Like, I really wish Johnson had stuck around, you know, to work with that team that he built. But hey, you know, that's how it worked. And that was really the last really good coach we had, right? It's now, you know, 20 years ago that we're going that far back. So hopefully, basically what we're saying is, whoever the next guy is, you know, I feel like Dable and Harbaugh are guys that have identities, like that the team could have an identity and have a clear vision of what they should look like and how they should play football.
Yeah, this is terrible because I'm just talking myself into Dable, and that's just like, you can't put all my eggs are in the one basket. If it's not him, I'm going to be upset. And honestly, none of it matters until they start playing, because who the hell knows? But
yeah, it's too. I mean, we're day three, right?
Or yeah, four. Monday morning. I had 10 minutes where I'm like, can I keep rooting for this team as long as Ross owns it? And then I'm like, you know, just took me about a half hour. I'm like, all right, get over yourself. They're gonna get another coach, and you're gonna root for the team.
Like, if they do hire Dan Quinn, I might actually need to take a little break.
Wait,
take a break. I mean, I'm obviously not gonna root for a different team.
I just realized something. Gase doesn't have a job.
I think he's coaching high school somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I believe so. Philbin is somewhere. I don't know. I can't remember where Philbin ended up. I don't know where Phil. I know he's coaching somewhere.
He's a Walmart greeter.
No. I think he's with McCarthy in Dallas. I think he's like,
really
offensive. Yeah, I think he's down there.
Crazy.
Because that's what he was. Like, he was McCarthy's like. He was technically the offensive coordinator, but really all he did in Green Bay was put PowerPoints together and stuff like that. He was like a secretary, basically.
Very good at it, though.
He's really good at PowerPoint, apparently. Like, so good at PowerPoint. yeah, I'm just hoping it's not another one of those. And I just feel like we're just in this cycle, right? It's
nope.
Just been.
We're not. We got a good young defense. We've got a lot of talent on offense. We just need we've got a ton of cap space. Let's optimist this up at the end. We've got a lot of cap space. We're gonna nail the draft again like we did last year, not the year. We've got to make up for some of those bad picks. We're gonna get some offensive line help. Get maybe even some more receiving help. Get a linebacker maybe, and we're gonna crush it.
Yeah, and I don't think Greer, you know, for early on in the year, I was, you know, obviously roasting him for the personnel decisions. But I think, you know, he's obviously the team has some talent. Like, there is some talent.
Yeah, and, he's know, above Greer's average. He it sucks when you boot a first the rebuild draft, right? But everybody boots picks. His just were bunched up. But
it just that's like so
Wilkins
Dolphins to be
Baker
what happened to us. The one year we have, yeah, you know, we have to hit on these picks is like the 1 year we're not allowed to scout, right? Like, you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, that hurts. Yeah, that obviously hurts.
I feel like if they, because there's no way, like if you had gone to a pro day and you watched Herbert throw versus you watched Tua throw, like a like actual scouts.
He made bad decisions in college. He didn't look, he wasn't playing like this. Maybe they used him poorly, but he just looked like another one of these big arms without the head. The book on him was he was dumb, and it was.
Right, but that's the thing. You meet him in person. You have the interview questions. Yeah. You have him read defenses and those sorts of things, and then you realize like, oh wait, no.
They might have realized it, and they might have, you know, even known how bad Tua's hip was, or how, you know, who knows? A lot of what ifs.
Right. Exactly. We're ending on hypotheticals, but
you know what? I'd rather have Tua. He's a good dude.
He seems like a great individual.
Herbert doesn't divide his glass and his paper when he recycles.
How crazy was the end of that game though? Like, did you watch that?
Oh, I didn't. I ended up like going to sleep.
I don't know how. I watched the entire thing, and I was amazed by so many things about the Chargers. Like, I've seen them play like a few times, and I watched them play two games. Like, one was the Chiefs game where they just like kept going for it on fourth down all the time, and like I just could not believe. I was just amazed by how poorly run that team is. It's like a 13-year-old playing Madden.
That guy was a coach of the year candidate, turned into garbage.
Amazing.
That's what I mean. I was okay with Flow. He's as bad as his decision. Better than Staley. All right, let's go Dolphins. No, let's go Dolphins!
Go Dolphins.